Support for WPR comes from Viterbo University, dedicated to supporting the state's health with doctoral and master's degrees in nursing, counseling, nutrition, and more. Viterbo.edu/graduate.
Support for WPR comes from Wills on behalf of Wisconsin Public Libraries, offering access to ebooks, audiobooks, digital magazines, and more. Available with a Wisconsin Library card at wisconsinsdigitallibrary.org.
One of the things I most enjoy about this program is getting to highlight Wisconsin authors. And today, it's an author whose debut novel will be featured today, beginning today on Chapter a Day. So, you know, if it's going to be on Chapter a Day, it's a good book. And I can vouch for that. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Kelly Harms is the author of The Good Luck Girls of Shipwreck Lane. And you can, as I said, you can hear Chapter a Day right after this program. So you're going to get the first edition of that. And, of course, every day for another week or two, I imagine, a couple weeks probably. Two or three weeks, Judith says, tells me. Kelly Harms, great to have you with us.
Thank you, Larry. What a great intro. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, it's so much fun to have you here. I loved your book. It is such a such a quirky bunch of people that you're well, that you're dealing with. And I want to get to that in a minute, but here you've spent a bunch of time in the literary world as an editor and as an agent. And then you decided to put your author hat on.
Well, I think that it was greatly informed by the women I worked with when I worked in publishing. Mm-hmm. And I learned how to craft a book and how much work versus magic goes into it. Once you see that for yourself, it makes stepping into those shoes a lot. Well, I won't say easier, but it makes the process much more clear.
Yeah, I would think so. And being an editor, I would think that makes you a better writer too.
Well, I should say that it has a double-edged quality to it. I mean, there's that internal editor that every author works to turn down while she's getting out that first draft, the draft that Anne Lamott calls the crummy first draft. I had air quotes around the word crummy there. And so as I was writing, the editor side of me just had to take a back seat. Once the book was on paper for the first time, I let her out and let her loose, and she went nuts on the book and really whipped it into a cleaner shape so I could send it into the world.
Oh, well, we certainly don't want to give away the whole story, but there are some very interesting elements to the story that I think we can safely talk about. And one is, of course, very timely for Wisconsin Public Radio listeners in a way, because Kathleen Dunn talked about this last week on her program, because she was hosting another Kathleen Dunn who had come to visit from England. They met purely because they share the same first, middle, and last names. And, of course, that's the major element of your book, The Good Luck Girls.
Yeah, I wrote these two women with the exact same first and last name from the exact same hometown to highlight in each other their weaknesses. I picked two people who would bring out the worst in each other and then go on to bring out the best, hopefully. And I'm fascinated by this idea of growing into your name, being what your name prescribes. When I went to name my own child, I felt immense pressure. I think we all feel that way. Mm-hmm. About what it would mean if I didn't get it perfect. And when I created these two Janines, they went through a lot of incarnations where I changed their names several times. So they weren't Janine Brown from day one.
In fact, they weren't.
The Brown part got added at the very end of the game because they had a very unusual last name at the beginning. I can't even remember what it was, but it was some ridiculous three-syllable invention of mine. And sagely, someone in the process pointed out, why would there be two people with this same exact name in one little town and not have met each other? That would be ridiculous. So Brown, nice, generic, quiet, Iowa girl name. And I think if we all take a moment to Google ourselves now, we'll all have some surprises. I told Larry before the show came on that Kelly, I share the name with an adult video star, which was quite a shock for Kelly Harms, the Iowa girl.
Oh, that is so funny.
I don't expect that we'll be visiting each other anytime soon. Like Kathleen.
Well, you know, for me, when I first saw this Janie Brown, I went to when I was doing my PhD work way back when. One of the people who was another student was Janie Brown.
Oh,
and she was a quirky, or is she's still out there? Kind of a quirky, and so I kept thinking of Janie Brown.
The Janie Brown you know.
The Janie Brown I know, not quirky in the same way at all, but...
Lucky for the real Janie Brown.
but quirky gal nevertheless, and really a whole lot of fun to be around. So I kept seeing her face.
I'm so glad to hear that, because somebody said no one would ever go by the name Janie. And I thought, well, I would if I had an opportunity. So
yeah,
it's
well,
true.
She was working on a PhD and was Janie Brown. So.
When you write a book and put yourself out there, it's really, really fun to share your work with the world. And then the flip side is that everyone has a great idea or opinion about it. Like no one would ever use that name.
Well, here's a name. Kelly Harms, our Wisconsin author, our guest today on the Ideas Network. This is her first novel. It's called The Good Luck Girls of Shipwreck Lane. You're going to have a lot of fun reading it. A feature, or even listening, because it's featured today, beginning today on Chapter a Day. Maybe, have you ever met someone who shares your whole name? I have never met anybody who shares my whole name.
Larry, I Googled you. You're the only Larry Mueller.
Oh, you did? There are a few Muellers out there, but there are no Larry Muellers that I knew about. But anyway, what about, as you're listening, have you ever met someone who shares your whole name? What was it like? And then maybe we can talk about the novel itself. What makes a good novel for you? What draws you to a character? I hope you'll join in. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or go to my Facebook page. You can post there at the Larry Mueller Show. And if you go to the Larry Mueller Facebook page, you'll know that there's only one Larry Mueller. So you're going to get mine for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, your two Janine Browns, who go by Janie and Neen.
Mm-hmm. Because otherwise the poor reader wouldn't have a chance.
Yeah. Oh, man. They see themselves as about as different.
Right. I mean, most of their identity is caught up in not being each other at the beginning of the book.
Yeah.
The premise, I don't want to give away too much. Yeah. Larry, wave me off when I'm wading into the spoilers. But the premise of the book is that they both win a dream home giveaway.
Yeah.
And both believe it, that they are the rightful winner.
And they are both pretty damaged people.
Oh, yeah.
Right down to it. Obvious, as we were talking about, though, in different ways. And I'm sure it was intentional to make their...
Oh, of course. I mean, 101 for creative writing is just to torture your characters. And I had a high old time of it.
Well, then they can kind of round each other out in a way, I guess.
And I think that they do. The fun of the book and the thing that I... You know, as I revised and revised and revised endlessly, the thing that I never let go of was that this was a book about friendship, about the powerful way that someone can change you through friendship. And
it's so powerful.
Well, I hope that is the takeaway. You know, as you're listening on Chapter a Day and enjoying, hopefully, the book, I hope you can take away just how important I found the female friendships of this story, and I just wouldn't let that part go.
Kelly Harms, our guest, author of The Good Luck Girls of Shipwreck Lane. You can join in at 800-642-1234. And by the way, I have, and my wife have both gone to the, what is it, the, not the home, is it the home channel?
It's, in real life, it's HGTV.
HGTV, because we've actually gone there and entered the drawing for a home. I mean, there's.
Oh, yeah, I've done it. Oodles of times. I'm embarrassed about how much I've hoped for that home. But that's what started the whole process. If you think about it, what kind of person can really pick up and leave and move to a different place for $1 million home? You have to have a pretty weird life to be able to leave it in a heartbeat.
Yeah. And Janie and Nina are the perfect.
Yeah. They're candidates.
They're great candidates. Becky and Eau Claire, thanks a lot for calling. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Becky.
Hi, I just wanted to comment, this is interesting because when I started my photography company, I was going to open it up, I saw a note that there was somebody with the same exact name as me that also owned a photography company in California.
So you couldn't use your own name?
I couldn't. No, I had to actually come up with a different name for my photography company.
There must be something written into the code of your name that makes you have that right eye for photography.
Must be.
But you've survived and you're doing well with your new different titled business.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Make sure you use that middle initial if you ever enter the HGTV home giveaway.
Right.
So you don't have to share it with her.
Thanks, Becky.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. I have a relative, and I'm not going to say which relative, but I have a relative who has the same name as someone else in the same city with the same middle initial. So it's the same name, same middle initial, same last name, and they are with the same age.
I would think you'd have no secrets from that person.
Well, the problem is that person is gets in a lot of trouble. Not my relative. And so the relative is constantly gets calls from, you know, some town where she supposedly owes money from parking tickets or whatever. And she's never been there in her whole life and all this and that. So
I think I'd change my name.
Oh, I'm telling you, it's really disturbing, not disturbing, just maddening, I guess, is what you could say.
Well, without giving away too much, I did wonder after I wrote the last page of this book, how will these people get their mail? Same address, same name.
Same name. And
no secrets, like I said.
No secrets. By the way, that last page is it.
Oh.
You want to say, one more? What? That's it? We want to go further.
Well, good. You're supposed to leave them wanting more.
Gary in Butternut, Wisconsin. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just had an interesting situation. This was a number of years ago. I was doing some vocational job fit testing, and my name's not common by any means, but the testing told me a job that I was suited for. And months later, I looked up my name on Google just to see what I would find. And lo and behold, I found another guy with the exact same name as me, and he was working in the job position that the vocational system said I was suited for.
Oh, man.
Okay, there needs to be a study about this. That's amazing.
Wow. Thank you very much. We lost him.
I wanted to find out if he went into that line of work.
Yeah, I know it. Call us back or email us or something and let us know if you actually went into that line of work.
Oh. You guys are giving me all my ideas for my next book.
Oh,
I could start a franchise.
You know, I was in, when I was in high school, there was a study coming out of California that was a lifelong study called Project Talent. And it was 3 days or 2 or 3 days of testing, and I had to go. We all underwent it, and then we were told what we shouldn't wind up doing with our life, with our lives. And I think mine was I was a cook.
Oh, boy.
Or something else. I forgot the other one. But anyway, as it turned out, I love to cook. And I've always had a lot of fun with that. But I kept getting a lot of follow-ups over the years because I never did what they predicted I would
So they didn't say public radio host?
No, that did not.
They don't encourage that sort of thing.
That didn't come up in the conversation. Anyway, Anita and Clayton, Iowa, we'll get to you in just a second. I want to remind everybody, Kelly Harb's our guest today, Wisconsin author. Her first novel is The Good Luck Girls of Shipwreck Lane, right across the table from me right now, having a lot of fun talking with her. You may have a question or comment, or maybe you've got a story to tell about somebody who shares your name or occupation, or we can talk about novels too. What makes a good novel to you? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Do you like to read a good? You like a good book? Well, here's one for you: The Good Luck Girls of Shipwreck Lane. The author Kelly Harms with me today. It's going to be read in about an hour, starting in about an hour on chapter a day. But in the meantime, here's your chance to ask questions. You got 20 minutes or so. We're going to be talking with her for another 20 minutes before our weather guys join us. So I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234. Anita in Clayton, Iowa, thanks for waiting. Hi.
Hello.
And what's
nice
on your mind?
You.
Yeah.
Well, my name is Anita. My last name is Grunder. My mother-in-law's name was Anita. And my husband's name was Harland, and his father's name was Harland. And living in the same town, that was quite confusing.
Yeah, the mail. I would imagine the mail was a problem, Anita.
Did you guys?
Yes, it was, until we put it all in one mailbox and divided it up ourselves.
Perfect. Do you have nicknames for each other?
Well, my husband was Big Build, and his father was Small Build. His mother was Big Build, and I am Small Build. So it was Small Anita, Small Harland, Big Anita.
Love it.
Oh, that's one. Anita, thank you. I love that.
And I also have another one.
Okay.
This was when we lived in Wilton, Iowa. When we moved to Clayton, Iowa, and I happened to have a niece and a sister who wanted to wish me happy birthday for my 50th birthday. So we lived down in a valley. They put signs all the way going up out of town for me in the morning that said, happy birthday, congratulations. Finally, at the top of the hill, it says, and you turn 50. Well, unbeknownst to me, there was another lady named Anita in town, and her birthday happened to be on the same day.
Oh.
And so going out of town, she kept looking at the signs thinking, oh, who was so wonderful to do that? And when she got to the top of the hill and it said, happy birthday, Anita, turning 50, she had turned 60.
Oh.
So she knew it was for me and not her.
Oh, man.
For a moment there.
Man, that is... Now, see, Kelly, if you put that in a book...
No one would believe it.
What? Nobody's going to believe that.
My editor would thumbs down that in a heartbeat.
That's a great story. Yeah.
And we live in a town of 42 people. So, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, Anita, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Linda in Wanakee, let's give you a chance. Hi, Linda.
Hi there. How are you?
Great. Appreciate your call.
Hi, Linda.
Well, yes, I'm glad to call. I was calling because my husband's name is Jim. We live in Wanakee. There's another Linda and Jim with the same last name as us in Wanakee. And we get each other's sympathy cards.
Oh.
We get invited to weddings that we don't know who they are. The other Linda's, I'm retired, but the other Linda's boss has called a couple times to see if I'm going to be at work that day.
Oh.
I'm a little used to it because when I was growing up, I lived in a small town, and there was another Linda with the same last name. She and I would get each other's birthday cards, but it's been quite fascinating when we get the, you know, this with the same name with both a husband and wife and then the same last name. I guess the funniest part might have been was when the other Jim's grandmother died and my husband and I were leaving town, and the obituary was in the paper the morning we were leaving town, and people had read it and were looking at us at the airport like, how could you be leaving town when your grandmother died? And then when we got home, we had three sympathy cards from people, including some family members. And my husband and I are older, and his grandmother died, you know, eons ago. So it's interesting because neither one of us are leaving Wanakee. So we'll see how it pans out.
Well, at least you're in the only Wanakee in the world.
We're in the only Wanakee in the world, yes.
There's only one Wanakee. In fact, it's on a sign as you go into town.
Oh.
Yeah, my husband did the research for that, too.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. But anyway, you know, I was used to it being just me, but now it's me and my husband get to share a lot of stuff with people.
Oh, Matt. Well, thank you, Linda. I really appreciate that call.
I would think in the era of Google, if you are looking for Linda and you Google Linda and Jim Wanakee, you'd think you got it right on the first try.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? Here's Jim in Madison. Let's see what's on his mind. Hi, Jim.
Hi. You were talking about not having odd names in a small town. My mother was Helen Marie Krivolovic.
Oh.
And there was another Helen Marie Krivolovic in the same town, Schuyler, Nebraska, a small 6,000-person town out on the plains. And both of their fathers were Frank Krivolovics, who came from the same village in the Czech Republic, Bystrics. And so there's always these family feuds about mail.
Oh.
And I took my mom over to the Czech Republic, and the mayor of Bystrics thought he had found a relative of ours, and my mom read through this letter that the lady had, and she said, oh, I'm not related to this lady. Mm-hmm. And that's when she told me this whole story that her mother was always cursing this other family for opening her mail. And I said, well, I can't very well tell her that, you know, that you would... that you were angry with her mother, you know, and to say, no, we're not related. But Krivolovic is not a common name, but the pastor in Bystrics, when we asked him if there were any Krivolovics there, he said more than enough. But we could find any of them. So I don't know what he meant by that.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Jim, and Krivolovic... It's spelled Krivolavek?
Yes, yeah, that's it. That's a good
and a
Czech
name with that spelling, you'd swear.
I bet they're
going to
come out of the woodwork now.
Thanks, Jim. Great story. Oh, my goodness. Adam in Eau Claire, you mentioned Facebook. I think Adam may have something related to that. Adam, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, thanks for calling.
Yeah. So I had an interesting experience. There's another Adam in my family with the same last name. And it led me to a thought that when I was on Facebook one day to see how many people were on there with the same first and last name as me. And it turns out that there's something like in the 40s or 50s.
Oh.
Of people who have the same first and last name. And so my goal was to friend every person.
I love it.
And it was wonderful. You know, I didn't get not everybody accepted the friend request.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did meet people from Australia. I met people who were in parts of Europe on tour doing music with different bands. Some people were, you know, professional engineers and things like that. And it was really funny. And something else that was really interesting is over time, there would be Facebook posts with our name posted on the picture, and it would actually show up on both of our timelines.
Oh.
And so we would comment. comment on each other's pictures, and that's really fun, too.
Oh.
Adam, there is a book in that.
I think there is. I
think you need to go and meet all your fellow Adams, travel the world, and give us a book about that.
Yeah? Okay. All right. Well, maybe I'll write a short story about it.
Even better. That sounds great.
Start with a short story, and you might just expand it.
We'll see where it goes.
See where it goes. I was talking with somebody, an author who was working on a book but then wrote a short story, and actually a publisher, an editor called and said, "Oh, this short story, are you working on a book with relating to this? We really would." And he said, "Absolutely, I'm working on it." And he started.
I started today.
Oh my goodness! Well, this book with Neen and Janie, one of the things I found interesting was that you write in the first person as both Neen and as Janie. How hard is that to do?
That was just the way that the voice came to me. I mean, this is a very authorly thing to say and very woo-woo, but once I really put myself into their shoes instead of putting that narrative distance between us, I found it a lot easier to write. So when I first started writing, I kept them at a distance and they just kept trampling over my own voice and ignoring my direction for where the book was supposed to go and pulling their own hijinks. And I had to just let them take over.
Well, they're so great. Give our listeners an example of,
well,
one quirky example of one of them, just so people have.
You know, Janie was the one who bugged me the most. She's so intensely shy that she gets hives even talking to a new person. And so she was just a pain to write because I couldn't put her in any social situations. If I wanted her to talk to somebody, she only had two choices before she would start anaphylactic shock, basically. But that's who she was. And what I loved about her was her passion for feeding a crowd when she couldn't talk to her crowd.
Yeah.
Janie cooks up a storm in this book. And the research was delicious. It was so fun.
I bet it was.
So fun. Neen is the one who my heart is after. And I think she's the hardest to love in this book because she creates most of the problems for herself. But she was the one that really captured my heart. And she's so impulsive. She never thinks before she acts. Ever. Until she, goes through some changes in her life. But I found it odd that the character that I loved the most was the one who, for other people, was the hardest to love.
Yeah. And you set the novel in Maine, and both...
I fell in love with Maine when
Oh, that's why. Okay, because they're from Iowa.
Well, I'm from Iowa, and I picked an innocuous place where it would inform them in their past in a way that we could all relate to. I was not aiming for big city girls, where if you're from a smaller town, you wouldn't get it. But I also wasn't aiming for extremes on either side. So that's why I put them down in Iowa in the first place. But Maine in this book is a fantasy of Maine. It's the fantasy you get when you watch those promos on HGTV.
Yes.
You see those houses and you think all of your problems are gone when you move into one of those houses. So that's the fantasy of Maine that I used. And I appreciate the fact that the state was able to lend me its name for my imaginary town.
Oh, by the way, Judith tells me there's a documentary about a woman who tracked down other women with the same name, and it's called Searching for Angela Shelton. Kind of interesting. So we were talking about doing a book. There was a documentary. It was done. Mark in Eau Claire, hi, thank you for calling.
Good morning. First of all, my wife is from Maine, so I'll be happy to pass on those nice, even Maine fantasy comments.
Well,
the reason I called is I share the first and last name with a public defender in the city of Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, my.
I thought would be handy if I ever got arrested. Or, excuse me, if I got arrested in Las Vegas and the attorney representing me has my name.
I like it. Have you ever had a – how did you learn that?
Oh, just Google. Google my name, and that's one that came up.
Oh, cool.
What did we do before Google for entertainment?
I don't know. How do you think about how many arguments get resolved in a matter of seconds that used to be...
They go on for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark, thank you. Rebecca and Superior, your turn. Hi, Rebecca.
Good morning. Thank you, Larry, for taking my call. And Kelly, the book sounds interesting.
Thanks.
I have to laugh. About 4 years ago, I went to renew my Wisconsin RN license and saw two Rebecca blank, blank, blanks. And I thought, what's this? And not only is this woman also a practicing RN with my first and last name, but she lives on the same street I do, but in a different city. I happen to be Avenue, and she is Street. And I always threatened to kind of write to her. But at that moment, I decided to start putting my rather old-fashioned middle name in the middle, my grandmother's name. And I'm almost 70, so it's a very old-fashioned name, because I thought that might keep us from being misidentified, because that was strange.
Yes. Oh. Well, and everything old is new again, Rebecca. So my 2-year-old son's playmates have beautiful names that his grandmother would have great-grandmother would have recognized in a heartbeat.
Yes, actually, my grandmother's middle name, my grandmother's names. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking forward to the book, Kelly. And again, Larry, thank you, and have a great day.
Oh, you too, Rebecca. Thank you so much for calling. Yeah, we're seeing, I know, in my daughter's school, Isaac and Jacob and...
Oh, and beautiful, like Mabel and Lily, mm-hmm. Ida.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see them come back.
Yeah, me too. Mark in Greendale, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry. I had a call in. My name actually is Mark Zalewski, and I had season badger tickets for years. And a number of years ago, another Mark Zalewski started playing with the Badgers, and it was awful lot of fun being at a game and hearing your name all over the loudspeaker half a dozen times.
I think I would have tried to use that for my own benefit. But since you already have the season tickets, what more could a guy ask for?
Right, yeah. Ironically, and then one of my regrets is that I never bought a jersey they were selling in the bookstore with the name on the back. I missed that opportunity, and I don't think they do that anymore. So.
All right, Mark, the other Mark, if you're listening, send your friend a jersey.
There you go.
I like that. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it very much. I had season tickets to the football games too, but
lucky
there are no Mealers
yet.
Yeah, although the athletic department 1 year sent a picture. Thank you, because we have to donate a certain amount of money in order to have those tickets. Sent a photo of a bunch of Badger football players jumping up and down excitedly, and the person with the back to the picture, the photo, is they put my name, my last name, in, and I'm obviously that last name went into everybody.
Yes. Know.
So it was pretty cool, pretty cool. And so I've had my own advisees and students, they'll be there, and I have that photo up on my desk, and they'll say, oh, you have a son who's playing football?
Well, now, if you're following this, Larry, lots and lots of young women are becoming excellent football kickers.
Oh, yeah.
So
absolutely.
There's still a chance that there could be a Mealer on that Badger team.
Well, I have a 10-year-old daughter. She plays soccer.
Well, there you go. All the groundwork is being laid.
Oh, man. Brenda in Door County. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. This is just a little story about the importance of Googling your own name. One evening, a fellow nurse said to me, Brenda, have you ever Googled your own name? And I said, no, of course not. Why would I? I've never done anything. But I did. And I appeared everywhere. And it was me. And what happened is NPR's On the Media had done a 12-word novel contest the year previously.
I love those contests.
Like 1,000 people entered, and I was one of the top 10 that was chosen. And I never knew that, and this was like a year later. And here, Time Magazine had picked up on the contest and writer for Time magazine, Jerry Kaplan, had picked up in particular about mine and talked about it, along with Hemingway's five-word novel that he had written and so on. And then several other, like The Dust Jacket, I believe it was called, several other media picked up on the contest, but only quoted mine because they liked it so
love
much.
Love it.
Oh.
And I was
so you
like,
have done
oh
something,
my
Brenda.
God. I was just like, oh, my God, I don't believe this because I'd entered it, forgotten about it. And then here I am popping up all over the place. But the funny thing is I do get Time magazine, and I only read usually the beginning part of it because I'm only interested in the news, not like celebrities or anything uh-huh. like that. That's usually towards the end. But this was in an issue called, it was a life section. And this Time magazine is sitting next to my bed on the table. And I was getting ready to recycle a stack of them, so I would have never read this article. But, you know, I'm thinking if that many people are interested in my 12 words, maybe I need to finish this novel.
Right. What's going to happen when it's 1,200?
Yeah. You got to do it, Brenda.
I'm such a writing pusher. I'm all for it, Brenda.
Brenda, get it written, and I'll have you on the program, and we'll invite Kelly in, too, and we'll both question you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, anyway, Google yourself. You'd be surprised what you'll find out.
Thanks,
thank
Brenda.
You.
I love it.
Thank you so very much. Well, how's the, you know, the book's been out for...
I couldn't be happier. The media has been very kind to me. And one thing that I learned from being on the other side of the table was that when your book is out, you've sort of lost control over what happens next.
Yeah.
You do your best to give your best work to the readers, and either they love it or they don't. But I did really learn that the authors who have a little bit of information tend to drive themselves crazy. So I've been happy to sit back and let the pros do all the heavy lifting while I get to work on the next project.
And what's your next project?
Oh, Larry, I shouldn't have brought it up. I'm so superstitious. I won't talk about it.
Talk about it. Okay.
I'll say only.
It's a book.
It's a book. It's a book about another passion and another. But, you know, I just can't stop writing about women's friendships. So I think that it's going to come back on that again.
Well, this is a fun book. It was fun. It was lots of funny parts. It was very touching, I thought.
Well, thank you. I mean, what higher compliment than laughing and crying? I guess that's what what I wanted to read and what I always love reading for myself. So that's what I wanted to give other people.
Well, my advice to you is to keep writing, but you're doing that. So that's the good news. So.
I'm happy to keep doing that. That's the fun part.
Let us know when that next book comes out. But in the meantime, here's the book. It's The Good Luck Girls of Shipwreck Lane. In exactly 45 minutes, you can, if you have time to listen to chapter a day, you can hear the first, I don't know, chapter or two from the book, Kelly Harms.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
What fun we had today.
It was great. It was a lot of fun. Always fun to talk with Wisconsin authors, and certainly, especially people like Kelly Harms. Thank you so much. We have a lot of really talented people in this state. Coming up next, we're going to talk with a couple of other talented guys, our weather guys, and I hope you'll stay with us right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.